Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hi, and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I am Kirsty Farigia.
And I am Amy Ravel. We are so glad to be here with you today. If this is your first podcast, welcome. There's about 70 bajillion episodes before this, so you can go back and binge. One of the great functions that a lot of people don't know about is most podcast apps have a search function. And so if you are going, oh, I really need to sort out my Tupperware cupboard, literally just go into your podcast app in our show and search Tupperware or kitchen or kids or babies, and you'll find episodes that you can play along with so that you don't have to listen to all 300 episodes just to find the one that you need.
Mm. We also have that function on our website as well. So you can head over to theartofdecluttering.com.au/podcasts. And on that site, there's a search function and it will find any and all podcasts that relate to kids if you put in kids or Tupperware. Yep, and it will link to all of the ones that we've ever done that mention Tupperware.
And because we often get people come into our Facebook community and say, is there an episode on this? And I don't know if you saw it yesterday, Kirst, but someone came in and said, is there an episode on what to do with your baby supplies once you finish having kids, but you're not sure if you, maybe you might have another one? And I love, we were like, yep, we've done that episode. And Belinda was able to kind of link to it and head them in that direction. So if you're wondering if there's an episode on something, the answer is most likely yes.
And if there's not, please email us at hello@theartofdecluttering.com.au because we love your suggestions. So if you've, and it also means that if there is and you just haven't found it, we can, somebody here at head office can email you back and go, yes, here it is. You'll find it here.
And today's episode is a listener request and it's around helping others, like how to offer help, what to expect when like donating to friends and family, what are some of the big no-nos, and it was requested by Owen Gray. So thank you, Owen, for your request.
So what's your advice on how to help others declutter?
So let me do a precursor. And that is that I feel like this is really pertinent at the moment when we're thinking about a lot of the floods that have been happening along our eastern seaboard, around fires that happened in 2019 or that black summer across our eastern seaboard and western seaboard in Australia, and we know California and lots of places around the world have these natural disasters or personal disasters, and people want to help. So if my home burned down, I know without a shadow of a doubt that people would want to help. And so this is what we want to talk about, is what is a really good way to help if you are someone who has been the recipient of help. We want you to jump over into our Facebook community and tell us like what was helpful, what was not helpful. A great episode to look back on is Recovering from Fire, which is where we interviewed Gnomes whose home had burnt down. And she talked a bit about what it was like when people donated things, what was really helpful, because when you've got nothing, things are helpful, and at what point that tipped over into now I feel like I'm living someone else's life. So that's my kind of laying of the foundation.
And I think that we can maybe we can talk about two different scenarios. Like, what do we do in those extreme circumstances? And then what do we do if we've decluttered and organized our home and then we turn our sights on our parents, our sister, our friends, or our, you know, or those people turn to us because they see the transformation in our life. What can we do? So let's go with the emergency disasters.
Great.
Let's start there.
Let me give you a bit of a story. So I live in Victoria and I live quite near to where the Black Saturday fires came through in February 2009. And we set up, I was part of a massive recovery center kind of setup. So it was a church and people bought donations to the church. Clothes, furniture, personal items, food, toys, books, everything. And it filled like a football field worth of space. And what the aim was is that it was a recovery center and people could come and take what they needed for free. So clothes, toothbrushes, hairbrushes, like all the things that you need, they could come in and take it. People were incredibly generous, Kirst. Like, I'm talking people just were giving things that they hadn't even finished using. Like, this is my favorite dress, but I know somebody else will love it more. So, like, the generosity in the heart of people was just blew our minds. And part of my job was to sort. So as things came in, we'd, like, sort them through and put them in the right sections for people. I think there's been a lot of research done post that that have really talked about the ongoing trauma of not owning anything and feeling like yourself has been lost. So I don't know that I have any answers. I just bring a couple of different experiences to how that process is, because obviously people need stuff. So that's really important. But is it more helpful to donate money than items? Or like, I feel like today's episode is a bit of a nut it out quandary rather than any sort of answers.
Yeah. I think also what our tendency is to, as Australians in particular, and I'm only speaking because that's who I am. I don't know what it's like to be a British person or from the Ukraine or from America or from Japan. So as an Australian, I know that we do muck in and help our fellow neighbours. Yeah. And that is our, we've got a generosity of spirit here in Australia that we do go out of our way for complete strangers. Like, the stories that have come out of the last floods here in Australia have been phenomenal about the self-sacrifice that people have made. And I think that, let's talk about flooding. The mud rises, you know, the flood waters come into the house and they absolutely destroy houses. And so our tendency is to get in there and help people and just chuck everything in the bin. And that's really unhelpful at any point in time for anybody in not having ownership of what's being discarded. Like, I absolutely get it from a practical, sanitary, safe perspective. That's what needs to happen sometimes. But from a trauma-inducing response, it's not helpful to have strangers come in and decide what is worthy of going in the bin and what's worthy of saving from your destroyed home.
Yeah, because you can't do anything about the rising floodwaters, but you do feel overly traumatized by other people at times.
Yeah, and so I think that if you're going to go in and help in those situations, we want to be respectful of people's stuff no matter what. So, and this goes for helping others declutter after a natural disaster or helping your neighbors, friends, family declutter when you've seen the transformation in your life is being really, really respectful of their feelings, of their thoughts, of their possessions, of their trauma.
Yeah.
And so just we've been seeing those articles come through in the news the last couple of weeks about just we had a floods in 2011 in Queensland as well. And that was the response from people, is that it was so traumatizing having other people just discard our stuff like it was rubbish, even though mm-hmm. it was.
Or that's right. Even though
Yeah. And it definitely was from an outside perspective. Yeah, yeah. So we want to empower you to always be empowering other people to make wise choices.
Yeah. So. Well said. There's often other ways to help people too. So rather than going into a situation, so you hear that somebody's home has flooded or something has happened, you just turning up with a whole lot of your clothes, kitchen things, books, and just dumping them and saying, here, I bought this for you. Ask. Like, just say, what do you need right now? Do you need just to come and sleep at my house? Would you like to go, come and go through the kids' wardrobes and take what you need? Like, just ask, do you need money? Do you want me to just get you some gift cards or transfer cash into your bank account? Like, what is helpful in this situation, rather than assuming that we know what's best for other people? Mm-hmm. And I think, Kirst, that ties in a bit as well as to what you were saying about the, like, everyday decluttering. Is often we have clients say, I don't want to spend the time selling this item, but I also don't want to donate it to charity. I need to find the right home for it. And if you just go turn up to your sister's house with buckets of stuff and say, here, this is all for you, that's not necessarily respecting her free choice. Instead, you turn up and go, hey, I've got all this stuff. Would you like any of it? Much better to leave that person with the control rather than feeling like things are shoved upon them and they take them out of obligation maybe, and then resentment will kick in pretty quickly.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it comes back to that choice giving people choice and knowing that they have their own thoughts and opinions and feelings and history around everything, and we may not agree with the choice that they make and we may not. Yeah, so how do we agree with somebody? How do we not agree with their choice but still honour and respect them? That is the challenge.
That is the challenge.
That's the challenge that we face every day when we're working with clients, because we don't always agree with their choices, mm-hmm. but we want them to feel honoured and valued and respected in their choices.
Yep. That's so good. I think that's often the tension as professional organisers. Like, we're not cleaners and we are coaches, we're declutter coaches, and we want to dig and find what's going on for you. Like, is there a reason that you can't get rid of the old breakfast cereals, even though they're stale? What's going on? Is it a fear? Is it a value that you're trying to enact? Like, what is going on? That's what we want to work out. So, again, I feel like we say this in most episodes, Kirst, but it's about asking really good questions.
Yeah.
What do you need right now? How can I help you? Do you need me to go and apply for government support on your behalf? Do you need me to go and buy some kids' clothes for you? Like, what do you need?
Yeah, in those extreme.
In the extreme situations. I mean, literally, you're welcome to come to my house, everybody, and say, Amy, what do you need? And then go and get those
apply
things
for government
and bring
funding
them back
for you.
That's right. Like, you are so welcome. I give you all freedom.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn our attention to how can you respectfully and honoringly help other people to declutter who have either turned to you for help or you've set your sights on them as your next project because you've decluttered your own house and now you're itching to do somebody else's.
Have you done this, Kirst? Have you helped, aside from clients, which obviously we help, hundreds and thousands of clients a year, but personally, have you gone in and offered to help someone with their decluttering?
I don't think I have actually. I've definitely helped with the organizing. Mm-hmm. So, one of my best friends, her mother passed away just before they were moving into their brand new home. And so I offered to help them unpack, and I offer lots of my friends who are moving to help them unpack and to help mm-hmm. them move. I think a lot of them are scared to say yes because they think I am going to get to the decluttering.
Or you're going to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, or they think that I, you know, am going to judge them for whatever reason. They feel judged, or they feel like I'm going to judge how they've packed or why they have, you know, like I don't know, but it's their issues and whatever. Like I just offer. I offer all the time because I love it. I love doing that, and I love and I love my friends, and I want to be of help to them. So no, I haven't, but I haven't actually, because I am very hesitant to help do the declutter side of mm-hmm. things for anybody close to me, because I do think that people can feel guilt and shame around this area and feel like they don't want to be vulnerable to me about this because they see me as a inverted commas expert and that I might be judging them.
Yeah.
And so, no. How about you?
I have, but I think it's very much not something that you get to offer. It's the same way that you don't offer someone, like you walk into someone's house and say, hey, do you want me to help you to get your kids more disciplined? No. Or do you want me to help you provide more healthy food for your family? Or do you want me to help you to lose weight? Like, you don't go and offer those things. That is just like social etiquette 101, or you're going to get a punch in the nose. So I think around this, it's very much about being available for someone's request. So I have had people who are close to me say, could you help? And I will often ask questions. Do you want me to come and help as a friend? Do you want me to come and help as a professional? Like, am I wearing my work uniform and bringing my kit? And like, is that what you're wanting? Are you wanting me to be the leader, or are you wanting me to come and just be your friend and help? Because for me, I really like that clarification. So I would say, share what you have learned in decluttering, share how great it's been for you, and then that's as much as you get to do. I don't think you get to go in and offer to help other people if they haven't specifically asked. Do you think that's too harsh, Kirst?
I don't think it's too harsh. I think it's hard to hear sometimes when we can see other people drowning in clutter. And when we hear this all the time, like, how can I help my parents? How can I help my sister? Like, we get asked that quite, like,
yeah, a lot.
A lot we get asked for this advice. And my best advice to you, if that's something that you're asking, is ask your parents if you can pay for us to come in.
Yeah.
And or ask your sister if she would like you to pay for us to come in, or to facilitate that connection, because mm-hmm. as much as possible you want to remain in relationship with your family and friends, and you don't want this issue to come between you.
Yeah. And no, I totally agree.
But some people can't afford to get a professional organizer in, and some people are asked. So, okay, let's now turn our attention to if you have actually been asked.
Yeah, good.
If you've been invited in, how do you do that, and how do you do that? Again, with the respect and honor.
Yeah, but first of all, bring snacks. Like, that's probably the most important thing. If someone asks you to help them declutter and organize, you have to come with snacks. Like, I'm just putting that out there as the foundation of all good relationships when it comes to this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Yes. So, Kirst, please add to that very, very critical information.
And I think it does. The next critical thing is to come back to what Amy was saying before, is ask really good questions, like try and get some boundaries in place so that you don't accidentally fracture a relationship unintentionally. So Amy was just telling me today about a situation that our staff went into where they stepped on a landmine. So we've got an episode. Is it called Trigger Warning?
Trigger Warning.
Yeah. So we've done this episode called Trigger Warning, and in it we talk about how when we go into people's homes, we sometimes step on landmines that we...
By sometimes she means all the time.
Yeah. But we'll step on landmines that we didn't even know it existed. There was no signs out saying walking across a landmine field like you see in Cambodia and Vietnam. There's never any signs like that. Now, there might be some hint towards it, like somebody might start getting a little bit prickly about something. Sometimes it can be the most random, innocuous thing that you have said that can absolutely trigger somebody.
Can I share what it was in this instance, Kirst, without disclosing any personal information?
Please.
One of our staff was seeing a client who had complex trauma and some disability as well. And there's just no way. The client themselves had no understanding at the time of the correlation, but there were some expired herbs. And the team member said, hey, these have expired by several years. Are you happy for us to get rid of them? And the client went into a tailspin, and bless their heart, because they actually processed it and were able to articulate it in the end. But that suggestion of getting rid of things that were old but he still believed had use triggered this loss of, I've lost family members before their time. And so we never would expect a team member to be able to anticipate that, nor the client, because our emotions are complex and often, you know, come up at times when we're like, I just don't know where that came from. But it's really important to be asking those questions, like you said, Kirst, like asking, hey, what's going on? Is there something we can do? Like, there's just so much compassion and understanding in those situations, even when you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. And so my advice to you is, if you were going into somebody's home, try to be as sensitive to their emotional reaction and try and be as emotionally intelligent as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And watch for signals, watch for the prickliness, watch for their body reaction, their physical reaction to things, mm-hmm. to the things that you say, how they might respond to seeing something, and be very, very gentle. We walk into homes all the time that have had other professional organizers come in, or other people, other cleaners, other people have come into people's homes and done what our clients think that we're there to do, and have had a really bad experience. And again, sometimes that's unintended, like 100% of the time, I'm sure it will be unintended by those previous people. Mm. And we want to do our best to not be that person in our friend's life, in our family's life. And we really want you to value your friendship and your relationship with that person over their clutter.
So, Kirst, I've got five things that I think trigger people getting their backs up that I think would be helpful in this situation that applies to both our catastrophe and also the everyday decluttering for others. So these are the five things that I think contribute. So I think people get their back up when we make assumptions. So we assume about getting rid of something. We assume about why they do need two sandwich presses instead of just one. So making assumptions, I think, gets people's backs up. I think any kind of judgment gets people's backs up. So when they say something and your body language shows when you make judgment usually. And so when you're judging someone or you walk in and you say, oh my gosh, this is such a mess. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you've been living in this space. So judgment's the second one. I think the third one is when people don't feel listened to, when they've tried to express themselves. And it's not that they're misunderstood, it's that they're not listened to. Because I think when you're misunderstood, you can clarify. But when someone is just not listening, again, want to punch them in the nose. Number four is when people move too fast. So I've certainly experienced this. I'm a very fast declutter coach and I can power through if it works for the client. But people get their back up and feel really scared if you're going too fast and they don't feel like they've got any kind of control about what's happening. And the fifth one that I think that does get people's backs up is when we take leadership control or we're bossy without being given permission to do that. And I think when it's not an employer relationship, so when you haven't hired someone to come in, like when I hire my electrician, I expect him to come in and take leadership. When I go to the doctor, I expect the doctor to take leadership. And when people hire a professional organizer, they often expect us to take leadership. But when that turns into bossy or controlling, I think that does get people's back up.
I've got a sixth one to add to that.
Great.
Is when you don't give people choice. So you tell them, no, you absolutely have to get rid of that.
Yeah, and that's great.
There's no choice in given to the person making those decisions. And that's why we do our best to lead with questions and lead with understanding.
Yeah.
And lead, and the only way we can lead, and what I mean by lead by understanding is actually getting to know somebody and getting to know what's going on for them and asking questions. When we see that prickliness in people, or we see people getting their back up, or we see them retreating into themselves and just submitting, that's another. If you're in somebody's home and they just keep saying yes, yes, yes to you and your choices and your suggestions, stop. Stop and ask some questions, because retreat is another way of, and submitting is a form of retreat and is not what you want.
No, and when a friend says to you, just get rid of it all, don't do that. Don't be that friend.
That's the time that you need to say, hey, do we need to stop and have a drink of water, have a cup of tea, have some food? Are you feeling
I have chocolate bullets in my handbag because I'm the best friend ever and I listen to Kirsty and Amy and I bought snacks.
Except you don't bring chocolate bullets because they're disgusting and you would not be my friend if you brought them into my house.
They are so good. Chocolate bullets with dark chocolate outside.
Stop. You're making me want to throw up.
Anything else you want to add to that, Kirst?
I definitely want to encourage you that if you have a real passion for, if you have transformed your home by decluttering, or if you have always been decluttered because it's just your natural gifting, turn your mind to becoming a professional organizer, a declutter coach, because you may not be able to help your friends and your family because they may not see value in your gifting. And it's just too close sometimes. I want to talk about that as well. Come and talk to the Art of Decluttering or get in contact with a local declutter coach or professional organizer in your area and see if you could work for them, because that's a great way of using your transform life or your natural skills. So, use your skills in that way and potentially. Now, just wanted to go back to that, like, sometimes we're just too close to a situation. When we work with people in the downsizing space of our business, and when people, when we can often see that their children have tried to help and it hasn't gone well for them, because you think about it, we don't listen to our parents very well, and we certainly didn't when we were younger. And then I know that I don't listen to my children very well when they want to tell me how to run my life. So I think that, again, it comes back to that relational, like really valuing your relationship with somebody over and above their possessions, and seeing the clutter in their home as not an extension of who they are, but yeah, I, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say value the person in front of you regardless of what their house is like, and regardless of how you can see the impacts of that in their life. Like, you know, you may have been overwhelmed in your home until you decluttered, and you can see other people are feeling overwhelmed, and you really want to help them see freedom from that. And I really want to honor your heart in seeing that for somebody else and desiring that for somebody else. But they all need to come to that decision in their own time, at their own pace. And so we want to value the person. And so sometimes, even though we absolutely love somebody to with all of our heart, and we absolutely know, we presume to know what their freedom should be, that actually just loving that person where they are at might be what they need to feel less judged and more loved, to be able to find the next right move for them, which may or may not be decluttering their home, and which may or may not be with you. So yeah, did that all make sense?
Sure did. I don't have anything else to add to it because I like it. I do, however, have a podcast review, and I am going to just start this review by saying, if you, like me, love a good chocolate bullet, love a bit of licorice, then this is your week to leave a review. We've been getting like a slow trickle of reviews, but I think it's time for a bit of a burst. So if you've been thinking about it,
you won't get that this week with licorice.
Yes, we will. Everyone is going to go, oh my gosh, Amy, as if anyone doesn't like licorice. It's the best thing ever. Today's review is from CKeel2, which is an Apple Podcast review from the US. And it's a 5-star review titled "A Great Companion on My Decluttering Journey." They write, "I found this show about a year ago and have listened through most of the back catalogue. Legend. It's a great companion to listen to as I declutter, and I feel motivated every time I hear more about how these women have simplified their own lives and their clients' lives to live more intentionally. It's not about change for the sake of change, but change to improve your day, your life day to day," which is true. And I want you to come and leave a review, even if it's just to stroke our little egos. Come and do it. But really, it does help us to find new listeners. So many people say to us, oh my gosh, I didn't even know you had a podcast. And so we want people to know. We want to share the love wide and far and high and deep. And
I was
clearly lunchtime because now I'm just rambling.
Oh no, I was listening to a podcast that Mandy from Two Peas in a Podcast was on, which was not Two Peas in a Podcast, it's The Wee Peas. And she was saying to the girls on The Wee Peas that, you know, we offer this podcast for free, so do us a favor in return. Just write a review. That's your job. Our job is to produce the podcast. Your job is to write the review.
Yes, it is.
So thanks, Mandy, for the tip.
So whip them into line, leave us a review.
Yeah, and we can't wait to be in your ears next week as we chat about something else that we will decide in a minute.
Wow, that is a cliffhanger if I ever heard one.
I know, right?
Clickbait. See you all next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app.
or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.